For those of you who were here on Wednesday, I'm even wearing the same coat and I'll be giving the same sort of same talk. I was a little more nervous last time on Wednesday because Angus Taylor was sitting right there. But I had him in mind when I was preparing it because I was thinking as I read more of the stories of the graveyard and the people buried there and was recording them for our updated, there's more and more of these stories of the families, the QR codes. I was reflecting on the fact that a lot of what gets remembered of people, and particularly the people in the graveyard here, their lives remembered, would have been wealthier people in the town. They would have been people with power and influence. They had massive cortages of people and the mayor turning up. And I thought there's a lot of ordinary people missing from these obituaries that I'm reading. So I had that in mind as I was choosing the story that I'll read in a moment. One of the things about reading audio recordings, I've given up on the idea of being an audio book narrator, which was one of my dreams, because after reading these stories, I realised I kept being surprised if I wasn't prepared, if I hadn't read ahead. And I was not prepared for Mr. Amos Bishop's story. I should have been because it had obituary at the top, where it said that he was playing cards with family members. He was dealing the cards without the slightest warning, gave one gasp and peacefully passed away. I was reading that with great delight that he was playing cards with his family and then was surprised to find that he passed away. Clearly more pre-reading was required. So, as I said, obituaries are often stories of the things we want to be remembered by, or we want people to remember us. We want our loved one to be remembered by. But it also struck me, because it was the Pioneer Cemetery, there were stories of what makes up a town that's starting or a growing town, and Picton certainly was in those early 1850s. Those stories included stories of devoted mums of 10 to 15 children, of flour millers like James works in the flour mill, but also bakers turning that flour into bread, of councillors of the local council, of magistrates, and I was particularly struck by one who was remembered for being impartial and just and merciful. I thought, what a great memory for a magistrate. For rail workers, we've got a couple of them here, and engine drivers, for teachers who taught well and with grace, and even inspectors of nuisances. Does anyone know what that would be? I'm guessing it's, nice way of saying a policeman, inspectors of nuisances. Church ministers featured a lot, clearly, because they were obituaries and newspaper reports of funerals. And there's a plaque up the back that we noticed the other day when we were planning for these services of a man who was a kind friend to many. Thought that was a lovely way to be remembered. But the story that stood out to me was actually the last one of the 18 pages, and it was Miss Susan Trenery. The Trenery grave, we still haven't got the plaque up yet, is just out here. It's the big tall one with an urn on the top, and if you go round the back, Ben and I were looking for her, you find Miss Susan Trenery. And this is the appreciation written by Reverend John Boardman, not related to Ben. It affords me much pleasure to give an account of one whose whole life I have known and admired from childhood. As a schoolgirl, she was a gentle and amiable student, always repulsing anything that was not refined. As a member of a large family, which is the best training school, she was the monitor of right conduct. But her greatest forte was as a teacher. She began Sunday school teaching at a very early age and was beloved by all her class. Quite early in life, she formed a girls' Bible class, which met every Sunday and Thursday afternoons. This became famous not so much for its numerical strength, although this was exceptional for a country town, but for the influence it exercised on the lives of those who attended. The age of many of the members was equal to her own, and sometimes even more. Most of the girls remained members until they were married, and even afterwards Miss Trenery always kept in touch with them, and their delight was to bring their babies and introduce them to their Bible class teacher. St Mark's Church Picton owed a greater debt to Miss Trenery than any other individual, for she gave it at least 50 years voluntary service, not only as a supporter, teacher and worshipper, but an honorary secretary to the local branch of the Ladies' Home Mission Society, at that time one of the largest country branches. And I checked, Googled that, and the Ladies' Home Mission Society was a society that women were part of to help single women keep their babies with them, and single pregnant women give birth to those babies and keep them, which I thought was remarkable for that time in the 1850s. In her home life, she was ideal. After all the other members had married, it was she who remained with her parents to sweeten their declining years and to interpret their every wish. Being alone after the home call of her mother and still energetic, she decided to seek a wider field of operations and accepted the position of acting deaconess at St Barnabas Church, Paddington, where she endeared herself to all with whom she came in contact. Here she formed a women's Bible class and had similar success as she had in the girls at St Mark's. Failing health compelled her to resign the parish work, but she still kept her Bible class in operation, and eventually her medical advisor advised that she should have a rest. And then, of course, she passed away. The funeral was very, very well attended. People came from all over the country, and many, many flowers. It stood out to me because a growing town needs a church, but it also needs someone. Obviously, she had the means to be and the time to be working, but working with younger women and who would then go on to raise families of their own and teaching them the word of God. A growing town needed a local gathering of God's people, whether it knew it or not, and still does. It still needs a gathering of God's people in Picton to be built up and equipped as we meet together on a Sunday and through the week to move out into our community. Often at the end of our service, there'll be something like a blessing to go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. And we go out to offer things like the community pantry that happened here this last Friday, assistance in aged care church services where beloved and ageing members that can't get here can have Greg and others come to them to hear the word of God and have communion together. SRE in schools and mentoring, and it was lovely on Wednesday for Matt Deeth, the deputy mayor, to attest to Eileen Bicknell and others' influence in his life that have caused him to rely on Christ for everything and have him where he is now in his life. In schools, we've got many people working in schools in our congregation here, in offices, in banks, in council chambers, with neighbours, with family, and as foster carers and friends. And that has always been God's purpose for his church gathered here, to build us up and to send us out in Jesus' name. So that when we gather here on a Sunday morning, it's to pray. And when I think of what they would have prayed, and some people reflected after the service on Wednesday, they would have been praying through all the wars that happened in that time, through the floods and fires and famines. They would have been praying for both soldiers overseas, sons and fathers and brothers, but also praying for those here when they heard the news and lost their sons in the war. We meet to speak God's word to one another and to hear God's word as we hear his word read and preached. And increasingly we've been finding, as we love to see people coming to church here with that which struck me. It was like Susan. They'd say something like, we've had people coming recently saying, my grandmother used to read to me, or my mother, or my parents, or my scripture teacher used to read or teach the Bible to me, and I want to find out more about this Jesus. And we come to sing, and I think we're going to sing, yes, after this, Psalm 46, God is our strength and refuge. When I asked women years ago, as part of a study, what psalms meant the most to them in hard times, this psalm was one that came up a lot, this and Psalm 121. But Psalm 46, the verse they wanted was the be still and know that I am God. And we often had to remind them that it ends with I will be known among the nations. So it's not just being still and being calm when we're anxious, but it's being still knowing that God is at work and will be known no matter what's happening in the nations. That's a much better hope, much bigger hope than just being still and calm when we're a little bit distressed. And this song, this psalm we will sing is of floods and wars, and in the midst of it, God, the Lord of hosts, which I think means the Lord of armies, the Lord of power, of all power, is with us here in Picton for 175 years so far, and for however long it takes before he returns, and forevermore. So we're going to sing that song together.